Well, praise the Lord. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 12. So why don't you go ahead and turn there. Proverbs chapter 12. Praise the Lord. We are going to look at some really good scriptures today. One of the things that my husband and I do in this room is we like to sit and we like to talk about the word. And you know, most Saturdays we spend quite a bit of the day sitting in here, and he'll be reading the word and he'll share something with me, and then maybe I'll share something with him. And we just we really are encouraged together in that way. And this weekend we were in Proverbs chapter 12, and he shared with me something he shared at church this past weekend. But before we get to that, I want to share with you what I feel about Proverbs chapter 12 in general. Anybody ever had, well, we used to get it all the time, concentrated like orange juice, you know, the little containers. One time I stuck my tongue to it, got it stuck in the grocery store because they used to be frosty. But when I think about Proverbs chapter 12, I think about these little concentrate juice containers where we would take a spoonful of it and we'd eat that, and it was so full of flavor and so pungent, and it had so much in this little container. You couldn't possibly imagine why it would taste so strong being such a small container. And I feel like Proverbs 12 is kind of like that. Like Proverbs 12 is this like concentration of all this godly wisdom. And it's kind of like that. Like if you really dig into it and you expand on it, you have a lot more than you started with. And you get a lot more understanding. There's like this concentrate of wisdom in it. And so I want to start with Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid." I know. See, it says the word stupid in the Bible. But it says here that if we like correction, if we want godly correction and wisdom, that's the opposite of being stupid, you know. But if we are somebody who rejects wisdom, we reject the correction and the knowledge of God, then that's us being foolish. That's us being stupid. And so I encourage you, I'm not going to go through the whole chapter 12, although I could spend all day in it. I'm serious when I say it's like this concentrate of wisdom. If you want wisdom principles, if you want to know the heart of God, I mean, he talks about all kinds of things in there, how you treat people, your words, how you treat your spouse, how you treat animals, how, I mean, just amazing wisdom in this book. But we're going to skip to verse 25, where we were this weekend with my husband in Corey, and he mentioned it also in Mayville. It says in verse 25, we don't need to take too much time to turn there because we're already in the chapter, but it says here, let's see, "Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad." And what my husband brought up this weekend is he said, you know, that word depression is not what we think it is. And I said, well, that's interesting, because I think most of us would just read through that scripture and think, oh, yeah, we better not have anxiety because we're going to end up depressed. And, you know, yeah, that is, there's a certain element of truth to that. But the reality is that word anxiety and that word depression, they're not just what we think they are in our modern day 2020 human vocabulary. You know, they mean different things. And so I want to read to you what anxiety means. It means fear, it means heaviness, and it means anxious care. I actually think that that really enlightens us to the understanding of this scripture more when we see the real meaning of that word anxiety. You know, we often think anxiety is just, oh, I don't deal with anxiety. I never have panic attacks. I never get frantic about things. But if we have anxious care, you know, that anxious feeling in your stomach that, oh, I don't know how this is going to work out for me, or we fear something or we're fretting about something, that is what it's talking about here. All those instances in life where you're just uneasy, you're feeling anxious, you're intimidated by a situation, these are all things wrapped up in that word anxiety. Heaviness, there's just something, you can't sleep at night, you're just thinking too much. These are things in that word. Anybody ever deal with that? you know, I know this, that this last 6 weeks, we're on week six of this whole pandemic situation where we've really been on pause. And I know that there's a lot of people that haven't been getting paychecks like they were. They haven't, you know, maybe have businesses. You're wrapped up at home trying to homeschool or trying to do things that you're not used to doing. Maybe you're working in the public and there's all this fear and panic going around about this virus. There's a lot of opportunities, especially in the last 6 weeks, where we've had opportunity to become anxious about things. You know, maybe you, I know like Debbie has a new baby, grandbaby. I know there are many people like this. We want to see our families. We want to go on with life. And so the temptation to be anxious is really real, you know? And I love what Dr. Dufresne used to say. He said, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from building a nest in your hair. You know, anxiety, those fears and things are going to come. But the reality is we as Christians can say, no, I'm not letting that take me over. I'm not going to live in that kind of fear or anxious care. Amen. Let's look at that word. Let's look at that word depression here. I have it written down here because it's so good. Depression means to worship, to bow, to reverence. See, when we read that scripture in first passing, it would seem that, oh man, if I don't deal with this anxiety, I'm going to end up depressed. But what this scripture is saying is our answer to anxiety is depression. And what that means is our answer to anxiety, our answer to those anxious cares, those that fretting, that spirit of heaviness, our answer is to bow before the Father, to worship God, to reverence Him. And it says here in the verse, it says, and we're still in verse 25, but a good word makes it glad. A good word, the good word of God will take that anxiety. If we depress ourselves, if we put ourselves, if we bow before the Father, if we worship Him according to His word, and we go to His word and we say, Father, help us, that makes us glad. That's our cause for rejoicing. I love that. And so my husband, he shared this scripture with me. And then of course, the Lord dealt with my heart about these things and this concentration of meaning within it. But instantly this scripture came to mind. Let's go to 1 Peter 5. And we're going to actually come back to this. So hold your place just so you can get there again. 1 Peter 5, and you may know where I'm going, because as soon as I heard that scripture and understood the real meaning of that word depression, instantly 1 Peter 5, 6 came to mind. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Humble yourself. That's really what depression means. It means to humble ourselves. So it says in verse 25, it says anxiety or cares or spirit of heaviness in the heart of man causes or should cause us to bow and to humble ourselves before the Father. And so really, instead of this being a statement, this is really a commandment, is what the Lord was showing me. A commandment, our answer, our direction for anxiety, our direction for that spirit of heaviness is to humble ourselves, is to depress ourselves before the Father and seek His word and say, your word above mine, your thoughts above mine, your answers above what I can concoct in my head. And so this we need to look at as a commandment, as our direction. I love that. That really helps me, because it's not just this statement that God said, oh, anxiety causes depression, just go to the word. You know, it's listen. The answer, the only answer for that spirit of heaviness is to go to Him, to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt or really build you back up, right? So you lay yourself down and you say, okay, I know all these thoughts are coming to my head. I know all this anxiety, this heaviness. You lay that down before the Father and He will exalt you. He will bring you up out of that. Amen. I love that. What good word. But see, if we don't take time to dig into what the word's really saying, we won't get all that concentration out of it. Amen. We're talking about orange juice this morning. It's morning. Praise the Lord. I have this written down. Living in anxiety is the refusal to worship God. It's not okay with him because it's not his highest and best for your life. Let me read that again. Living in anxiety is the refusal to worship God, and it's not okay with him because it's not his highest and best for your life. I'm going to read Proverbs 12:25 again. I want us to understand and really remember this scripture. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. When you're feeling anxious, when you're feeling worried, you go to the Lord, you go to his word, and you say, this is my cause for rejoicing. This is my help. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Where are we going to go next here? My notes keep turning off on me. So the good word takes that anxious care and then anxiety and fear and makes the heart and renews your mind into gladness and rejoicing. Oh, I have this. It cheers you up. But what I have written down is really it brings you up. So the word of God not only cheers you up, but it brings you up. Amen. Okay, so we're in 1 Peter. I told you to hold your place in some places. I don't think you've turned off of that yet, but let's read the next verse. So we read verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Look at verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And actually, I don't have this written in my notes, but if we keep reading a scripture we read all the time, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Notice that when we're anxious, when we're carrying those cares, we're not being sober. We can't be vigilant, and we are easily devoured. So remember that we, when we're feeling that, we go to God, we lay ourselves down, we bow before the Father in worship and reverence to him, and we let him build us up through his word. We let him give us the rejoicing through his word. But we have to be the ones who trust. We have to always go to the right place. See, what a lot of people do, and I would say that especially women deal with this, emotions come when there's cause for a lack of peace in the situation. Maybe the bills are unpaid, or maybe your kids aren't behaving, or maybe your job, you know, someone's not treating you right at your job or at home. There's cause for that anxiousness. A lot of women, we want to cry, right? We want to cry. We want to just shut ourselves up. We want to hide in a room. We want to busy ourselves with cleaning or with a task to ignore the situation. But what we really need to do is we really need to go to God. Amen. Our first place we should go, the first place we look, the first place we want to clean up is our head, not all the other things on the outside. We want to head up, clean up our mind by renewing it in the word. So we have to be vigilant about that. But I love that these scriptures are all connected. See, we could read, and we read 1 Peter 5:8 all the time. Be sober, be vigilant, talking about the enemy. But notice that the precursor to being sober is getting our minds and our cares in the right place. And that is not holding them ourselves, but giving them to the Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. Go ahead to Hebrews chapter 5. Hope you're getting help here. I love this time. This has actually been a really big blessing to me. I'm just showing you how the Lord helps me to study out his word. Amen. And this is easy to do. You know, you go before the Father and you say, show me what you have for me today. And he'll do this. He'll show you and he'll make connections. So your understanding will be enlightened. Amen. So Hebrews 5, chapter 12. Praise the Lord. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Let's not let this be said about us. Okay. One of the main, easiest, simplest, basic principles of serving the Lord is that he's supposed to help you to be able to rejoice in life. We aren't Christians because it's a harder life. He said, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. But we're living, many Christians are living with this burden all the time, and we are not called to that. And so let's get beyond this elementary principle of how do we deal with anxiety? How do we deal, you know, let's get beyond on that, let's say, all right, I'm going to cross that line once and for all. I'm not going back. I'm not letting that bird build a nest in my hair ever again. That's gross. I don't want to live that way. It's going to end up poopy. It's going to end up dirty. And I'm going to have to clean it up at some point. So I might as well just clean it up before it happens. Amen. We're looking at anxiety and fear and casting it before the Lord, and really that it is a commandment and it's an elementary principle that we need to get beyond. Let's keep going. Skip down to Hebrews 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works or faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Let's not let these basic things that are basic principles in the word, let's not let them be the things that we have to get taught again and again and again. Amen. The Great Commission is that we're supposed to go out and reach other people. When I was reading at Easter time, Resurrection Sunday, I was reading a lot about what Jesus did and what he paid for and the experience of him being on the cross. And I realized afterwards that Easter's about the Great Commission. And Resurrection Sunday is about the Great Commission. It's about that Jesus didn't do that just for this handful of people on the screen. He did. He did that for us, but he did it for us to go out and reach other people. But if we're sitting around all the time anxious, if we're sitting around and we can't get beyond, you know, the basic understandings of what it's like to be, what it means to be a Christian, then we're not going to fulfill the plan of God. I don't know about you, but I turn on the news or you're on social media or you talk to a family member or you're out in the public. It is fear, 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 worry, dread, fear, anxiety. That is what is going on right now. And how is anybody going to get help if we as Christians won't stand up and say, no, we don't live this way. We live differently than this. We have to be the light, the salt. Amen. I love in Dakes for Hebrews, for this section of Hebrews, it writes, Dakes is a study Bible, and sometimes I'll go to it and see what he has to say about the scriptures. But he says here about Hebrews 5 and 6 here, he says, you have been professed Christians long enough to be teachers. Yeah. But because of laziness and dullness and grasping truth, you must be taught a second time. This is not to condemn. I'm just saying this should stir us up. We've been Christians long enough that we know what it means to be a Christian. We know how to build somebody else up. And we ourselves know how to be built up and stay stirred up in the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to 1 Peter. Yeah, 1 Peter chapter 2. Go ahead over there. It's not that far away. 1 Peter chapter 2. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We should desire the word. We should desire to grow by the word of God. We should desire to be teachers. We should be desire to fulfill the plan of God and be the ones fulfilling that great commission. We need to desire that. But the enemy would try to get us bound up in our own heads so that we can't do that. But we are stronger than that. We are more capable than that. We don't have to live with the cares. We have the answers. It's simple. This book is this concentrated book of answers. And so when we're tempted to be in fear, when we're tempted to be in anxiety, we say, no way, I am better than that. I've passed that. And we want to pass that test once and for all. I don't know about you, but I want to pass that test once and for all. I don't want to keep going back to that place of anxiety, of worry, of being anxious and, you know, wondering and that spirit of heaviness. I want to say no more to that. I don't want any more days where I wake up and I'm like, what am I going to do? No more. We don't want to live that way anymore. Amen. My husband was ministering on Saturday night and I wrote this down. And he was ministering along some of these lines, but I wrote this down. In this time, if we don't allow the fear and anxiety going around to humble and depress ourselves, to teach us to humble and depress ourselves, and if we don't receive or submit to his word and his good news, we're wasting this time. And what I mean by that is we're wasting this time. We have been put on pause. That's what the government's calling it. We're put on pause. If we don't use this pause, this time that's being set aside to actually learn how to humble ourselves before the Lord and cast away these anxieties, then we're wasting this time. This is our time. People have been complaining about not being able to go to the gym, not being able to go to to work, not having anything to do. This is our time to train. This is our time to decide, you know what, I have all this time to get stronger in my faith, to get stronger in my walk with the Lord. I have this time. This, they thought they were pausing me, but they were actually giving me time to get stronger. You know, I mean, you go to the gym, I don't go much, but when you go to the gym, you lift weights because weights give you resistance. Well, we have all kinds of resistance coming at us. And just like weights will build up our natural muscles when we, you know, lift weights, this can build up our spiritual muscles. This time, this pause can build us up spiritually so that we're stronger going forward. And I wrote this down. If we don't pass kindergarten, we won't get to go on and learn what we need to pass first grade. It's not just about, getting into another grade or into another level, but it's about what are we going to learn once we get there? See, what are we not getting to because we're not getting beyond these elementary understandings of the word? What does fear and anxiety and this anxiousness stop us from receiving on the other side? And it's a lot. I can answer that. It's a lot. There's more. You know, that's what the word is saying here. That's why I read that to you. We should desire the meat of the word. We should get beyond just needing, you know, I know Rachel and Carrie and, you know, Debbie's got a new grandbaby. And I know Becky just got through these ages, you know, stages with Gemma. Babies, they need milk and they need milk for a while. But, you know, pretty soon and real quickly, they start grabbing for real food. We need to do that as Christians. We don't want just a watered down message. We don't want somebody to give us a watered down bottle, you know, a liquid, simple, easy to swallow word of God. We want something to chew on. We want to be able to have something that keeps us strong. And so we want that correction. That's what I said, Proverbs 12:25. That's a direction. That's a commandment. You are not allowed to hang on to anxiety. It is not okay with God. It is not okay with him because it's not his highest and best for you. Amen. So we have to get beyond that. I said, if we won't pass this test, we won't pass the bigger tests. By this time, we should be teachers. We have such open access to his word that we have no excuse. Amen. We have open access to his word, and I, for one, am glad for that, because I know that if I pass this test, there's another test coming, but if I was able to pass this test, I'll be able to pass that one too. Amen. And I want to end and get to these scriptures, James 4 and verse 6. Praise the Lord. But he gives more grace. Oh, I want more grace, right? He gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. What does that word depress yourself, depression mean? To humble ourselves. And it says here that as we do that, as we purpose to do that, he gives more grace to us. He gives more grace. Do you know what grace is? It's God's ability. Right? It's God's ability. That means as we humble ourselves before God and say, hey, you know more than me, God. I don't know as much as you know. You know more than me. I could stay wrapped up in my head about this. I could stay ticked off at him, or I could stay angry about this, or I could stay worked up about this situation. I could continue crying over spilled milk. I could stay, you know, giving everybody in my life the silent treatment, or just running around cleaning everything and busying myself and not dealing with it. Or I could humble myself. I could get before the Father. I could say, God, I'm dealing with this. I missed it in this area. I let this nest stay in my hair too long. And I could get more grace, more of God's ability activated in my life. It's our choice, right? God gives us choices again and again in the scripture. He says, I put before you life and death, right? Blessing and cursing. You choose. Amen. And so I encourage you this morning that we want to be the people who have the more grace, right? More of God's ability activated in our life. Now listen, if you've been dealing with things, if you've been in that place where you have been having a hard time breaking through that anxiety, casting those cares, you're worrying about, you know, the situation at hand or other situations, this is not to condemn. This is what you needed to stir you up. Amen. And so if you say, I don't really even know where to start with this. Keep going back to Proverbs 12:25 and go in and read it the way you know it to be written, though. Read it with God's real meaning of that word. I've got anxiety coming against me. It's my time to bow before the Father, to worship Him. And that literally means worship. If all you know to do is start praising God in the situation, whenever I'm angry, my husband talked last night, if you were on our Zoom meeting last night, he said, we've had intense fellowship. It's not my fault. It's always his. Just kidding. But if you sort of kidding, but if you've been in that situation, you know, you could stay ticked off. You could stay angry. And, you know, I used to pride myself on how long I could hold a grudge. Oh, you cross me. Oh, you will regret it. I used to be that kind of person. And now I'll just start singing praises to the Lord. I'll just get myself in this happy place of worshiping Him. And you can't stay angry that long when you get in that place. You can't stay angry that long when you start praising God and thanking Him for what He's done in your life. If the only thing you can come up with is to thank Him for what He's done in your life, start going off. Thank you for this house that I live in. Thank you that I still have toilet paper. Thank you. Thank you that we still have been able to eat every day. Thank you that I'm not, you know, alone. I have people to talk to, people to reach out to. Thank you for my local church. Thank you for, you know, that I've never gone without, that I still have heat, that I still have clothes on my back, that we, you know, I'm still breathing. If you get to the point where the only thing you can thank Him for is that you're still breathing is pretty darn good. So, and I know we're all beyond that, right? So if you've been in this place where you're dealing with stuff, get to that point where you're humbling yourself, worshiping Him, bowing before Him, depressing yourself. Remember, humble yourself and He'll exalt you. I promise you that if you put that into practice, your situation will change around. Amen.